This message, titled The Attitude of Steadfastness from 1 Corinthians 16:13, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, I think it's probably safe to say this morning that one of the hardest things to do is to shape an attitude. And what I mean by that, if I can use a common illustration, and of course there are many things that could illustrate this point. You teachers know what it takes to shape the attitude of your students. You who have coached students in sports know how hard it is sometimes to cultivate the proper attitude in your players. And certainly all of us who are parents know that in raising children, cultivating, forming, shaping their attitudes is one of the most difficult things about being a parent. And what I mean by that is in some ways it's easy, isn't it, to address external behaviors. We can teach our children the things that they ought to say versus the things they shouldn't be saying. We can teach our children the things that they should do, the things that they shouldn't do, table manners, what it means to mind your P's and your Q's. In one sense, it's easy to modify some of the external behavior of our children, but every parent knows that it is an altogether different challenge to help them form the attitude that is appropriate to the action. That it's not merely enough to do the externals. But we know as parents that we also need to guide the way our children think, the way our children feel, the way that our children approach life. And cultivating, helping them form the attitude that matches the action is one of the greatest challenges as a parent. And I suppose this morning that as goes parenting, so goes Christian discipleship. That becoming disciples of Jesus, brothers and sisters, we need to remember that it is far more than just outward behavior. But that God, by the resources of His grace, aims not only at outward behaviors, the externals, but by the resources of His grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, God aims at doing an inward work, at cultivating in all of us the kind of attitude that we are to have as Christians. And yet, true as that is, it proves in Christian discipleship to be one of the most challenging things, to have the right attitude. And I begin that way this morning because there is something of that here as the Apostle Paul comes to the end of this letter to the Corinthians. If you're familiar with this letter, then you probably know that the Apostle Paul has put as much force as he possibly can in the writing of this letter to the Corinthians. Paul has backed up every stroke of the pen with as much force as he knows in instructing and correcting the Corinthians. If we were to take time to look at this letter in detail, you would find that Paul utilizes the full breadth of eloquence in the way in which he addresses this church. That Paul, throughout the whole of these 16 chapters, has utilized fiery indignation at their stubbornness and their obstinacy. Paul has, through the pages of this letter, utilized all the force and all the power of his argumentative skills to convince the Corinthians of the things that he is writing, and Paul has throughout the pages of this letter also shown forth tremendous pastoral tenderness. Paul has spared nothing in this letter. He has backed every stroke of the pen with as much force as he can to instruct and correct this church. And now he comes to what we really have as the closing exhortation to these people. And in verse 13, Paul writes, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And in many ways, those two verses serve as the period to all that Paul has been saying, all that Paul has been instructing this church in, and in a very real sense, Paul is coming in those words to say, look, you need to have an attitude that reflects all the actions that I have instructed you in throughout the totality of this letter. And in verses 13 and 14, it's apparent, even when you read it, isn't it, that in many ways these are individual commands. And they come in quick succession. They come with rapid fire. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and love. In quick succession they come, and in one sense, brothers and sisters, they are individual commands. But they are also, and I want you to see this in introducing this to you, they are also commands that are very, very closely wound together. They are commands that are, if I can express it this way, wrapped up with each other. How is that? How can we see that? Well, you see that one of the primary aims of Paul in these two verses is to encourage the Corinthians to be steadfast. He says, be watchful, be steadfast in the faith. And of course, brothers and sisters, I direct your attention there because that is the theme of our beginning together this year, 2021. Our theme this year, as we've been introducing this year, has been standing firm, standing fast, holding firm to the truth of God. And Paul is saying just that to the Corinthians. You need to stand firm in the faith. Now, just so you know, oftentimes when we speak of faith, and most of the time, especially in the New Testament, when you see that word, we think of the act of believing. I believe, I have faith. But you'll notice that Paul expresses this by adding the word the. Stand firm in the faith. And when you see that, we need to understand, and there's a multiple places in the New Testament where that is used, Paul is not thinking here specifically of the act of believing. Rather, the faith is the content. It is those things that we believe. It is, for all intents and purposes, the truth of God. And Paul is saying, stand firm in that. You've got to stand firm in the truth. In many ways, that's the controlling thought. But then what Paul goes on to say relates to that. It relates. And what I mean by that is Paul is cueing us in here, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Paul is saying here, for all practicality, here's how I want you to stand firm in the faith. Here's the attitude that's going to require. You need to act like men, you need to be strong, and you need to let everything you do be done in love. And Paul is coming here at the close of this letter to say, here is the attitude that needs to dominate your lives. As you seek to stand firm in the truth of God, as you seek to do that, you have to act like men, you have to be strong, and you have to love. And so this morning, I want to consider each of those in turn. I want to take those as particular attitudes that Paul is calling us to, part of what it means to stand firm in the truth, and preach each of those. And so first then, this morning, very simply, let's consider the attitude of courage. The attitude of courage. Again, there in verse 13, Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Well, that's quite literally what that word means. Some translations seek to give more of the meaning of it, but quite literally, the word that is used here, and it's the only place it's used in all the Bible, is the word act like men. Be men. And that might sound a little strange. That might seem a little strange to us at first glance. Why? Well, Paul's writing that to the whole church in Corinth. Are we to think that the only people in the church of Corinth were men? And Paul now comes to say, well, all of you are men, so act like men? Well, no. Paul is telling the whole church in Corinth, whether they are men, whether they are women, whether they are children, you need to act like men. And so, of course, the question is, well, what does Paul mean by that? What does it mean to act like a man? And in very simple terms, and many translations capture this in the way that they seek to translate it, what does it mean to act like men? Paul is saying, for all practicalities, you need to have manly courage. You need to have an attitude of courage. And of course, when he writes that, that packs a certain punch, doesn't it? It packs a certain punch. Because there is nobody who likes the idea of being a coward. Now, I remember when I was in grade school, and we'd play on the playground, and you'd get into the spats, you'd get into the little fights with your friends. And of course, elementary school kids are great, aren't they, at inventing all kinds of names to call other kids. And oftentimes we laugh at those, we tolerate those, but we know, don't we, that to call a little boy, for instance, to say, well, you're nothing but a coward, is to make very little of him. There's a deep insult in calling someone a coward. Not only a little boy, but much more a grown man. There's no grown man that wants to be known as a coward. There's no person who glories in cowardice. That's not something that you would put on a resume. That's not the way that you try to portray yourself or sell yourself to other people. Well, I'm a great coward. Cowardice is not, even by the standards of this world, a virtue. Nobody wants to be a coward. What is a coward? Well, a coward is someone who's fearful. A coward is someone who tucks tail and runs. And you see what the Apostle Paul is saying, and again, it packs this punch. Paul is saying, don't be that. Don't be a coward. Don't be someone who cowers in fear. But Paul is saying, here is the attitude of a Christian who is seeking to stand fast is one that needs to be fearless. One who needs to be bold, who needs to be confident, who needs to be courageous. Paul is saying, you've got to act like men. You've got to have manly courage. Well, that's the what. But how about the why? Why does Paul very specifically say here, act like men? Well, I think if we look at the context, it becomes clear. Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the truth of God, in all the truth of God. Why does Paul then here immediately add, act like men? Because Paul understands, brothers and sisters, he understands the innate direction of our hearts. The innate direction of our hearts is cowardice. The innate direction of our hearts, separate from the grace of God and the intervention of the Holy Spirit, is to play the part of the coward when it comes to the truth of God. The truth of God is not something that by ourselves and innately we are very courageous about. But oftentimes, we fear. Oftentimes, when it comes to holding to and making known the truth of God, we are fearful. And so Paul comes here to say, if you're going to stand firm in the faith, the attitude that you have to have is one of courage. In many ways, that is the attitude that reflects the action of standing fast. Can I put it this way this morning? As we've been looking at what it means to stand firm in the truth of God, we've seen in previous weeks that one of the things that means, how do I stand firm in the truth of God? One of the things that means is we have our convictions informed by the scriptures, and we hold those convictions in the presence of God, who alone is the judge of conscience. And if I can put it this way this morning, Paul is saying in a very real sense, there is no courage in being a person without conviction. There is no courage to be found in a person who is wishy-washy, who doesn't have their mind made up, who doesn't hold to the convictions of God's word. Paul is saying, no, you've got to stand fast, and in your standing fast, you've got to be courageous. We've seen in previous weeks that part of standing firm in the truth of God means, doesn't it, that we need to make an open statement of the truth. We need to make an open statement of it. And what Paul is saying here is he is saying that there is no courage in being a Christian who shuts their mouth. That there's no courage to be found in a Christian who says, well, I believe the truth of God, but I'm just going to whisper it here and there. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to conceal it. I'm not going to make an open statement of these things. Paul is saying there's no courage to be found in a Christian who's embarrassed by the truth of God, who seeks to hide it or conceal it. He's saying, no, you've got to act like men. You know, we saw last week, I endeavored to show from the scriptures that part of standing firm means that we've got to act consistently with what we say, that there has to be a Christian who is standing firm in the truth, is one for whom there is consistency between what is said and what is done. And for all intents and purposes, Paul is saying there's no courage in inconsistency. An inconsistent Christian is a cowardly Christian. An inconsistent Christian is not acting with courage. You see, Paul understands that the innate direction of our hearts is not toward this courage, but towards cowardice. And so he says here, if you're going to stand fast in the faith, you've got to act like men. You've got to have courage. Which, of course, then leads to the question, well, how? How then, as Christians, do we get that kind of courage? Well, again, to emphasize or to remind you, you remember what it is that God told Israel in Deuteronomy 31, as we've read it this morning. God says, be strong and courageous, do not fear, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 23, God says to Joshua, I will be with you. That's the very ground, that's the very reason that Joshua is to be courageous. It's the very reason why the people of Israel are to be courageous. Brothers and sisters, how do we become courageous Christians who stand fast in the truth of God? We become courageous Christians standing fast in the truth of God when we stand in the awareness that God is with us. That God is with us. It's God's truth. It's not Kyle's truth, it's not the RPCNA's truth, it's not Protestant truth, it is God's truth. And the more that we come to an acknowledgement and an awareness that God himself is present in his truth, the more, brothers and sisters, we have the courage that Paul is calling us to here. The courage that Paul is calling us to here is not courage based on our own strength, based on our own abilities, based on my ability to argue people under the table or to steamroll them or the strength of my arm. No, the courage that Paul calls us to here in acting like men is the courage that recognizes God is with his truth. And whenever we make an open statement of that truth, whenever we live consistently in that truth, whenever we live out the convictions, God is with us. And so Paul is saying, you need this courage. The attitude of courage marks every church and every Christian who is steadfast in the truth. But secondly, in these words, is the attitude of strength. It's the attitude of strength. Paul says, doesn't he? Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Be strong. Well, what does Paul mean by that word, be strong? Well, in some ways, it's interesting the way in which many translations actually translate this word, because I don't want to cast suspicion on our English translations, but it's not the best way to translate the word. The word that Paul uses here is not a very common one, and there's a little bit of nuance to it. Paul is not, can I put it this way this morning, Paul is not saying, be strong, as though there comes a time when we meet a quota. Well, I am strong. Therefore, I fulfill what Paul says here. The word that Paul uses here, what he's actually expressing, far more literally is, if I can put it in these words, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strengthened. Be strengthened. There's a little bit of nuance there. But if I can put it this way, Paul is not simply saying, be strong, as though at some point we meet the quota, we meet the litmus test of being strong, and we can pat ourselves on the back and say, congratulations, I've arrived. No, rather, Paul is setting a trajectory for the whole of our lives. Be strengthened. Continue to be strengthened. Don't just be strong as though that comes in a moment of time and then you can move on. Paul is saying, no, this is something that you become, that you grow in, that you increase in, that you are always becoming stronger. You are being strengthened. Paul is saying, ever and always, this is the direction and the trajectory of your life to be strengthened. To be strengthened. And so the idea behind it, brothers and sisters, is the idea of endurance. The idea behind it is the idea of perseverance. To not grow weak, to not fail, to not trip up and stumble and fall and to stop, but to continue on, to persevere, to endure in strength. Well, that's the what then. Why does Paul say that we need this attitude of perseverance, that we need this endurance? Well, again, Paul is saying, isn't he, we need to be steadfast in the faith. And to be steadfast in the faith, we need to be strong. And we need to be strong, brothers and sisters, because as we've seen, and as we've heard multiple times, as we've looked at this theme, we live in a world and we live in a culture and we live in an environment that is continually and everywhere, brothers and sisters, hostile to the Word of God. The truths that we profess and the truths that we believe are not things that this world naturally gravitates to. And the message of the world around us, the message of culture, the message of society is a message to Christians saying, let go of the truth. Loosen your grip. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Lighten up, Christians. That, brothers and sisters, is the message of the environment all around us. The message of the environment around us is to be weak, to let go, to abandon the truth of God. In fact, that's why Paul frames so much of this in the language of warfare. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Paul recognizes, even in the way that he is writing this, that as Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we will always face hostility to the truth of God. And whether the temptation comes from within or whether the temptation comes from without, the message that is being screamed loud and clear to the Christian church is loosen your grip on the truth. You know, that shouldn't surprise us. Do we expect the world to love the truth we profess? Do we expect the world to get along just fine with the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, telling people that there is no salvation outside of Him? Do we expect the world, brothers and sisters, to get along with the gospel of Jesus? It tells all of us that we're sinners, that we're completely incapable, whatever human ingenuity and human creativity that we love to boast about, whatever it is, we can't save ourselves. We need salvation to come from the outside, to break into time and history and to break into our lives. Do we expect the world to just naturally get along with what we confess, that God is the creator of all things? That this world and all that we see is not here by chance and not here by happenstance, but by the hand of an omnipotent creator. Do we expect the world, brothers and sisters, to get along with the Christian sexual ethic? In a day and age that lives for the pleasures of the flesh, do we expect the world to give anything but hostility to the truth of God? Paul understands, the Bible understands, brothers and sisters, that the things that we believe are not popular. Christian truth is not going to win you a popularity contest. And so Paul says, we've got to be strong. We've got to go on from strength to strength. We've got to endure. We've got to persevere. You know, this is so wonderfully illustrated as I think about it here in the life of Paul. You know, when Paul was young and he wrote letters to the different churches, he often talked about his ambitions, didn't he? He writes to the church in Rome and he says, oh, I can't wait to see you. I'm going to make travel arrangements. I'm going to make plans to come see you. And then Paul says, you know, and once I get to Rome, I'm going to set my sights on Spain. And Paul says that in the letter of Romans. And he says, I want to go there with the gospel. Well, it's interesting that as Paul gets older and older, and as he writes what we have as his last writing, 2 Timothy, you remember the way in which Paul ends, in many ways, that final letter to Timothy. As an aged man whose footstep is close to the threshold of eternity, Paul says, I just want to finish the race. Gone are my ambitions of anything but crossing that finish line. Paul is exhibiting the very attitude that years earlier he wrote to these Corinthians. You need to persevere. You need to endure. You need to get across the finish line. You've got to persevere. You've got to be strong. And of course, then how do we do that? How do we get the strength that Paul is calling us to in these words? Well, in one of the only other places where this word that Paul uses, one of the only other places in the New Testament where this word occurs, is Ephesians 3:16. And it's interesting because Ephesians 3:16 is a prayer. A prayer from Paul for the church of the Ephesians, and he says this, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul is saying there's the source, there's where you get the strength, there's how you are continually strengthened. You are continually strengthened, Ephesians 3:16, through his Spirit. That a Christian who is living a life lockstep with the Spirit of God is a Christian, brothers and sisters, who has opened to them, man, woman, or child, all the resources of the Spirit's working to be strengthened day by day, to be strengthened and not weakened, to persevere and to endure in standing fast in the truth of God. It's why we began so much of this whole series on steadfastness with the need for the Spirit. This is the particular glory and the particular ministry of the Spirit of God with us to daily strengthen us, to strengthen our resolve, to strengthen our convictions, to strengthen our grip on the truth of God so that we don't let go, but that we endure and we persevere through all the hardship and all the hostility, through all the things within us and all the things without that are screaming to us to give up and to let go. And Paul is saying, no, this is so important to God that the Spirit himself enables us to be strengthened day by day. And Paul says, that's my prayer for you as the church of Ephesus, that you would be strengthened in your inner being, that you would continue to be strengthened. And that through the Spirit of God. Paul is saying, if you're going to stand fast, you need to be strong. You need to endure and you need to persevere. So we have the attitude of courage, the attitude of strength. But then our last point this morning is the attitude of love. It's the attitude of love. You know, there is a distinct shift, isn't there? In the very way in which the Apostle Paul writes this. Verse 13, in quick succession, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. As I've said already this morning, in many ways, those are fighting words, aren't they? Those are words of warfare. Those are words, it's not very hard for us to imagine or to even expect that those are the kind of words that a general speaks to the troops on the battlefield. You've got an enemy on the other side of the field, and the field needs to be taken today, so what do you need to do? And you can just put yourself there, and you can hear this commanding general looking at these men standing arrayed and ready for battle, and what does the general say? You need to be watchful and stand firm, and you need to be men, and you need to be strong. They are fighting words. But then, quite unexpectedly, almost like Paul changes direction in verse 14. Here, this commanding general looking at his troops, bidding them to courage and strength. And then in verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. A little bit of irony in that. Can you imagine George Patton, that World War II general, issuing that command to his troops? Be watchful, stand fast, act like men, be strong, and go love the enemy. Of course, you can't expect that from any general on the battlefield. But it's the direction, it's the distinct shift that Paul takes. You need to be courageous and you need to be strong. But then he says, you need to let all that you do be done in love. And in many ways, brothers and sisters, this is where, in particular, I think this instruction takes on a very Christian character. because this is not the natural way we would think. These are not the words that we would naturally think follow upon the summons of the verse 13. You know, I think it's attributed to Napoleon. Napoleon, it's reported, once said, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, I, we have established empires." And Napoleon went on to say, and how have we done that? He said, "We've done it by force." And then Napoleon wrote these words, "But Jesus Christ found his empire on love." One of the greatest military generals in the history of the world, recognizing the distinction that exists between the courage and strength of this world and the courage and strength that a Christian, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is to exhibit. And that's what Paul does. It's a distinct shift. It's a dramatic shift. Be courageous. Act like men. Be strong. But let all that you do be done in love. It's really a phenomenal thing. Because what Paul is doing here, even as he commends in the strongest and highest words possible, the courage and strength of a Christian, he is saying, and I want you to hear this morning, brothers and sisters, he is saying that this call to be courageous and this call to be strong is not a call to be a brutish beast. It is not a call to be a steamroller who just rolls over anybody and everybody in my way. It is not a call to win the battle, so to speak, and to stand fast at the cost of all things. Paul is saying, yes, you need to stand firm in the faith, and you need courage, and you need strength, but those things must always, always be within the parameters of Christian love. And this is the distinct honor, this is the distinct glory, this is the distinct character of a Christian who stands fast in the truth. This, brothers and sisters, is what sets us apart. That all the spiritual courage that we are to muster under the awareness that God is with us, and all of the strength that we are to show forth in our enduring and in our persevering in standing fast, is a courage and a strength that is harnessed to the never dying, never fading Christian grace of love. And Paul's saying that's the attitude that you need as you seek to stand fast in a world that is going to be hostile, in a world that is going to push back, in a world that is going to wage a spiritual war against you. Yes, act like men. Yes, be strong. But let it all be done in love. Love to God and love to neighbor. And it is so, so, so important, brothers and sisters, that we understand this. Paul does not say you exchange one for the other. Sometimes you get that message from people, but Paul does not see Christian courage and Christian strength as needing to be exercised in the absence of love. Paul does not understand that love means that I can't be courageous and I can't be strong. Paul understands these things work together in harmony and in unity, never, never, never one or the other. But always a courage and always a strength that is exercised and demonstrated within the parameters of love. A courage and a strength that is always patient. Suffering long those who would oppose God's truth. A courage and a strength that is kind. Actively seeking to do good, even to a world that opposes us. a courage and a strength that isn't arrogant, a courage and a strength that isn't rude, a courage and a strength that doesn't boast, a courage and strength that isn't irritable and easily angered, a courage and strength that isn't resentful, a courage and strength that never rejoices in wrongdoing, but always rejoices in the truth. What Paul is calling every Christian and every church to do and to be, brothers and sisters, is to be courageous and to be strong and to harness that ever and always to Christian love. And Paul is saying that is how you are steadfast in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. See, brothers and sisters, the Corinthians desperately needed this. The Corinthians needed a summons, a military charge, so to speak, to stand fast in the truth with courage and strength. Why? If you know anything about the Corinthians, you know that the character of their church, to put it this way, the Corinthians wanted one foot in Corinth and one foot in heaven. And Paul had to come and tell them, no, you've got to stand firm in the faith. You've got to act like men and be strong. But the Corinthians were also those who, according to the pages of this letter, were profoundly arrogant, profoundly boastful, looked down on those around them, looked down on others in the church for all kinds of reasons, so that even as Paul tells them, you need courage and you need strength, they had to hear this message: everything you do has to be done in love. And it's not just the Corinthians, but it stands, brothers and sisters, as the unchanging call. If we will be a church that is steadfast in all the truth of God, if we will be Christians who are steadfast in all of God's truth, then, brothers and sisters, we need an attitude of courage. We need an attitude of strength. And we need an attitude of love. That's the only attitude that matches, according to Christ's will, what it means to be steadfast. Let's pray.